Hi, this is Thomas Fogelman. You're listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at Photoshop World in Las Vegas, and I'm with author Peter Krogh from O'Reilly Media. Hi, Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. A little bit tired, but real happy to be here.
Photoshop World is a pretty intense experience. I mean, it's one of the premier events nationally to learn about digital photography, right?
Yeah, and it just goes from the moment you wake up until you just can't go any longer. So this is day three or so of that, and gotten a lot done, continues to keep moving.
Well, we met 9 months ago in January at Macworld, and on the day we met, Adobe announced a public beta of Lightroom. And when we met, we were talking about digital asset management. You had just authored a book called The Damn Book, Digital Asset Management by O'Reilly Media. Since then, 9 months has gone by. What's changed about Lightroom? What's changed about digital asset media?
Lightroom is changing constantly. One of the things that I found when I was in Iceland, working on the Iceland adventure, a number of photographers went there to put the software through its paces. I hadn't realized they were making new builds of this software every single day. And, of course, those don't get released. They're really experimenting and trying new things with this software in a way that's really unprecedented for Adobe. So to answer your question, what's changed? Everything. We can probably break that up into the develop tools, which are the tools for adjusting the images, and then there's the library tools, the tools for management, and then you have the output tools, print and web and slideshow. I would say that we're getting very close on develop tools, and we still have ways to go on the library or the management tools before we get them into at least where I would like to see them.
But Lightroom really isn't a dedicated DAM product, right? It's really not a dedicated product for digital asset management.
Yeah, I would say that's correct. It's not. It is more of a product for digital asset management than something like Bridge, which is a browser, because Lightroom has a database under the hood, and it creates a visible database document, the Lightroom library, then it does a lot of asset management chores that really can't be terribly well done with a browser, but you know it's just not fully cooked yet, and so yes, that's where it's going to go, and no, it's not quite there yet.
Let's talk about what a real digital asset management tool does, and the follow-up to that would be a photographer has Photoshop, they think they're doing great. Why do they have to then introduce another tool just to catalog their photographs? I mean, shouldn't they be able to all do that from one digital imaging application?
You could if you can, you know, if you don't shoot that many pictures or you have an incredibly good memory. But, you know, we're working with computers. Let's use computers to do the things that computers do well. And wrangling, you know, collecting information and wrangling all of that information, putting it together, letting you recombine, look at it in a lot of different ways, massage it, manipulate it. That's one of the things that computers do extremely well. Databases, you know, VisiCalc was one of the very first applications that actually made people want to get a personal computer. So, you know, database operation is one of the most fundamental things that computers can do. So why should I have to rely on my memory when we can have a program that will help me know where my pictures are, help me find them, help me make sure that when I face challenges of the future like hard drive failure or media migration or change in software, that I can actually bring all my pictures along. It makes me more efficient, and it helps me protect the pictures from loss. So those are, you know, those are things that I think we should be doing with a computer. While Photoshop lets you open a picture and look at it, you have to open it first. And, you know, that's one thing if you have to evaluate two or three or five pictures. But if you have thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands like I do, then you want an application that's going to harvest all the information and put it in one place so that you can access it without having to open individual pictures.
One of the classes that you're teaching here at Photoshop World is using a program called iView Media Pro.
Yeah, what I put together for this particular class was metadata and cataloging strategies for how we can very efficiently create metadata, information about your pictures, and then how you can cross-reference it and use it to make your pictures a lot more discoverable, and how you can put pictures away in a way that enables you to find them when you want them. Photoshop World is a wonderful place for people to come and get lots of different information about lots of different things. And this, you know, so this was a nice start for digital asset management, taking a look at metadata.
Do you think most photographers have a file cabinet mentality about how they deal with digital images, which unfortunately doesn't really work with digital images?
Yeah, it's one of the many, I think it's one of the many issues that photographers face when they move from a film-based workflow to a digital workflow, is that in a lot of ways, fundamentally, you just have to think about things differently. So in the real world, a piece of film can sit in one and only one place. In the digital world, an image could be in many places, or it could be in one place, and it could be referenced virtually, so it is as though it's in many different places. And of course, it could be lost entirely, and it could in fact be nowhere. So, you know, you can say that, well, okay, yeah, that's obvious. But the ramifications of how you think about and work with thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions of pictures, the ramifications of the way this works in the digital world changes how you do things. You know, it's a little hard for people to wrap their head around. One of the things that people do, of course, is port what works for them now to what they're going to be trying to do in the future. And it's hard to say, throw, you know, your fundamental concepts about where stuff is and how to organize it, throw it all out the window and learn something entirely new. You know, one of the metaphors that I use about commercial photographers going digital is it's a lot like having to change all four tires at 60 miles an hour. If you're running a photo business and you're working hard just to get your work done, and then you have to learn all this new stuff, it's really hard to do all of that work and to do it efficiently, and especially hard when you have a task in front of you like reorient your thinking about how and where you keep your pictures.
Well, how should people start thinking about digital asset management? I know that in my own workflow, I started off, of course, this was with the QuickTake 100 from Apple. Very simply, I would have December 1998, and then I would have January 1998, and then inside of those, I would have folders that would say Nancy's birthday party or Peter Krogh comes to visit, and that's how I organized it. And specific enough that I could do a search and find, but I couldn't find a particular image. I could only find a particular event or date. And then, of course, since then, it's gotten a lot more complicated.
One of the problems with that folder-based hierarchy is that as soon as an image leaves the folder, you've lost whatever information you were using, you know, whatever information you had represented by the folder structure it happened to be living in. So it's not a particularly durable way to tag an image with important characteristics. And, you know, so the tool we use is metadata, and I kind of hate that word. It's, you know, it's a real Yonsville kind of word. Oh, metadata. Oh, boy. You know, oh, geez, no, I think I want to go to the dentist instead. But, you know, metadata is a big, boring word for designations you can give, like who's in the picture or how much I like it or when it was taken. Some of this metadata, like when it was taken, your digital camera puts in there right at the beginning. And if you can use that, then you don't have to organize it in folders that are, you know, date-based. You can actually, when you get used to discovering this information that's already in there and putting a little bit of additional information in to help you find it, then you can find these pictures, and that information can really travel with the picture wherever it goes. And if you happen to want to reorganize everything, you wouldn't lose all of the information that's stored in the directory structure.
Let's go back to the idea of folks that have folders full of photographs marked their kid's birthday or something. Is there an easy way for that information to be transferred into the metadata of the images?
Yeah, they're depending on what kind of software you're using. iView, for instance, offers some scripts that can be put into iView that will enable automatic harvesting of metadata and, you know, turning it from one kind into another. So, for instance, one of the things you can do is say, turn every folder name that this image happens to be sitting in into a keyword and put the keyword into the image file. And that's essentially a one-click solution, something you could run on thousands of images at a single time. And at that point, you would have saved that information and made it a whole lot more portable and a whole lot more durable. So if you've done the work to organize the images into folders, I'm not suggesting you would want to throw that out. I'm suggesting rather that you'd really want to leverage that and turn that into a more durable, more discoverable piece of information, like a keyword.
I've always thought that one of the true definitions of a digital asset management program is that it would build a database related to the files. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
So what happens is that this database document that's created by your asset management application is a document that holds all this information about the image files. And essentially what it'll do is it will harvest information from the image files. So if there are any keywords that happen to be written in there already, or, you know, whatever information it can find about the picture, how big it is, what the color space is, what day it was created, any metadata, you know, copyright information, any of that stuff, harvests that information, and it holds it privately in a database document. Then when you want to go do some work to your collection, you essentially open this database document, and it shows you information about the collection as a whole. The other important facet of that is that we're speaking about here a cataloging software or a true digital asset manager. It's going to create a database document that you can see and save and move from one computer to another and, you know, open and close, as opposed to a browser which may be creating a database but doesn't let you see it or save it or move it from one machine to another. Programs like Extensis Portfolio or iView Media Pro, ID Imager, there's a handful of capable asset managers out there, will let you create a database document. Lightroom, another one, it lets you create a library file that has all of this information. So that's, you know, that's one definition or one part of the definition of a good digital asset manager, in my view, is that it creates a database document.
Now, I know some photographers that use FileMaker Pro for this purpose, right?
Yeah, and you can definitely do that. FileMaker is a really capable database application. There's a couple of problems. One is that it's a lot of work to develop a FileMaker Pro database, and it doesn't have the kind of capabilities built into it that a program that's dedicated for digital asset management will have in there. So you may have to do some manual entry rather than having it automatically index the files. But moreover, it won't do stuff like build web galleries for you or do slideshows for you or do print output. You know, I believe that these are the kinds of functions that one would want in their asset manager absolutely no matter what. And you're not going to be saving any money by using FileMaker, and you're going to make a huge amount of work for yourself, and you'll end up with a database that's much less capable of actually doing anything for you than if you use one of these programs that's built for exactly this.
So are these proprietary databases? In other words, when you launch iView and you create a catalog database, is that only readable in iView, or can that be migrated to another program?
Essentially, they are all proprietary databases. A lot of them are built on MySQL or other. They may be built on similar database programs under the hood, but when they save it in their own catalog document, it's going to typically be a proprietary document. And one of the features that I consider then to be extremely important for future-proofing your file is the ability to have the catalog software export all of the database information back into the original files themselves. And what this is going to let you do, should you at some point down the line decide to move to a different piece of software to do this work, it's going to let you take all your work with you. You wouldn't want to have thousands, tens of thousands or more pictures carefully cataloged, rated for quality, divided by content, you know, maybe thousands of hours of work, hundreds of hours of work, or thousands of hours of work. you wouldn't want to have to leave that behind because you're going to move to another application that doesn't read the database document you're currently in. And the way around this is to have export of that information back into the original files themselves. And this should be a kind of a function that's like a one-button function, not, you know, a big workaround of tab-delimited data export and field mapping and re-importation. That's something to make anybody's hair hurt.
So for our listeners whose hair is hurting right now and wondering what we're talking about is you create a catalog, you create keywords, you create categories, and that information can be then re-imported into the metadata of the image file, because all files have extra fields that are called metadata. And that doesn't really affect the image, by the way. It's really only into these data fields, right?
Yeah. If you've ever opened an image into Photoshop and then gone into File Info, what you see there are many, many different fields, which can include the, you know, who's the photographer, when it was taken, what keywords are, where the thing was taken, what usage rights are attached to it. There's a place for this information in virtually all kinds of image files. This is information, to get a little geeky, that lives in the header of the file, so that this information can actually be accessed without opening the file. It's in a place that's very discoverable. And as a matter of fact, even the operating system, the Macintosh operating system, can go in and index this information from your media files. So if you've put keywords in, then Spotlight can see those keywords.
There was big news in the digital asset management world when Microsoft bought iView, which started out as a little shareware utility. Then it was bundled with Toast for a while. And now it's a full-fledged program. And now it's owned by Microsoft, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It was caught a lot of people off guard. iView was developed on the Mac, and as a matter of fact, they've been huge pioneers of QuickTime and lots of other very cool stuff that's built into the Apple OS. iView was one of the first programs to use many of these different features, and so it was a huge shock to a lot of longtime iView users that Microsoft picked them up. It's a question as to what's gonna happen. I think it shows that Microsoft is moving, and probably moving reasonably aggressively, into the creative space. And iView helps position them for a couple of different things, for people who create media and for people who consume media. So if you are going to start buying MP3 files or buying videos or creating videos, or you start building a real media library, then you rapidly get to the point where you need something that's going to truly help you manage it and keep it. I went long past this point a while ago, but I think it's going to become extremely common that for most people, the content that's on their computers cost them in dollars far more than the computer itself, and therefore you're going to the importance of being able to manage, control, protect from loss all of these files is becoming extremely important. There's a lot of challenges that Microsoft and the iView team are going to face. Essentially, what we've got is a program that was a little startup, essentially privately owned by the guy who was the chief engineer, developed primarily on the Mac platform, now being incorporated into the Microsoft product line. I assume it'll end up in the Expression Suite, which sounds suspiciously like another kind of product, another product from a different company that helps one create photographs and web pages and stuff like that. So there's some significant challenges there. I do know that Jan, the guy who owned iView and is the chief engineer, he's brilliant. I'm sure that he will be working very hard to keep his baby going and to keep it a real market leader, which it really is. And I have high hopes. I haven't gotten in on the discussion with those guys about where the product's going, but I hope to start talking to them pretty soon about that. I'll do my best to try and keep it going in a way that's good for photographers. You know, that's my audience.
When we get together next time, it'll probably be at Macworld in San Francisco in January, and by then I assume that we will probably have a fully cooked version, in fact, a final version of Lightroom, or pretty close to that, right? What do you think the future holds for Lightroom?
I'm very, very excited about Lightroom. Can't comment on the dates at all. And I think because it's such a rapidly changing target, I'm not sure anybody really knows what's going to happen there in terms of when it's going to deliver. But what I think, what I know we're going to see, and we'll see this in the next public beta, I was allowed to demonstrate that here at Photoshop World yesterday. This next beta 4, you're going to just see some amazing develop controls. The control you're going to have over your images as a raw file is going to really astound a lot of people, I think, and it's going to change the workflow a lot. There's going to be a lot of stuff that you no longer have to do in Photoshop because you can do this directly to the raw file when you open it. So I think we're going to have tremendous develop controls, and I don't think in V1 we're going to get something that an established photographer with a good workflow is going to want to necessarily switch over to in terms of the management ecosystem. I'm not sure we're going to see that in version 1, but I think we'll probably see the application playing fairly well with other asset management applications. Adobe's always believed in open information architecture. It's been one of the true strengths, and I think it's truly outstanding facet of the way the company does business. And I think we'll see that, we'll continue to see that in Lightroom, that it will not be a walled off, closed off system, that it'll be open architecture, and you'll be able to integrate it with other products.
Well, I want to thank Peter Krog for spending time with us today. And Peter, can you tell us the name of your book again and where our listeners can find out more information about your activities and your book?
Sure. The book is called The Dam Book. That's DAM, which, of course, means Digital Asset Management. You can, of course, like everything else, buy it on Amazon. We have a very active forum at thedambook.com. Many people look at the principles outlined in the book and have very specific questions. So those get posted at the forum, and we just passed our millionth page served for the year. For this little thing, this is it's growing up quite nicely. You can order the book there as well. And on the forum, there's also a category that will show you where my upcoming appearances are. At this point, it looks like I'm on track to probably hit 30 different cities between now and the end of April. So a lot of moving around.
Well, I want to thank Peter Krog once again. Of course, you can always go to O'ReillyMedia.com. And Peter, thanks a whole lot for spending time with us today.
Thanks, Harris. I appreciate you taking the time.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Ford. You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio. The contents are copyright 2006 and cannot be reproduced without written consent.